Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. That's 1 After 9:09 by the Beatles, recorded on this day in 1969. Well, it's that time of the week again. Baynard Woods is here, senior editor of the Baltimore City Paper, to tell us what is in this latest issue. Bay, welcome. Good to have you with us, man.
Yeah, always great to be here, Mark. Yes, this week's a great issue for us that every winter we try to do something looking at liquor because it gets cold and people want to drink. And this year, it's really exciting. Brennan Jensen, who's been writing for us for a really long time, he went and investigated the local liquor industry, and there's a lot of distilleries starting to pop up a little bit slowly. D.C., surprisingly, partly because of the laws, has more than we do, though Maryland was at one time one of the biggest producers of whiskey, rye whiskey particularly, in the country. They now are, there are several different places that are producing rye. We reported a while back that the Broom Factory, which is the DIY venue, is being converted into a rye distillery. And then another guy, Henry Wright, is going back to pre-prohibition recipes, trying to bring back the really old Maryland rye, which you know, is now Pikesville is made in Kentucky. And we've lost somewhat of even the recipe of what Maryland rye tastes like. So I can't wait to taste some old-fashioned Maryland rye.
And when are you going to do this, Bay?
Well, I don't know when I'm going to unfortunately, Brennan already was able to try some varieties, but they're starting to, there's a couple places that are starting to release white rye now. So, you know, before it's been aged, a lot of places will sell so that they can stay in business and do operating expenses. We'll sell moonshine versions of their whiskey that haven't been aged yet. So they are starting to sell some unaged rye, and it'll be, they say, when it's ready. So anywhere from another year to a couple years for the aging process to really work right for us to get some aged rye.
I mean, there was a day when it was like all kinds of rye in this town, man. Like, you know, Wright Selbrook and Old Reserve and Mount Vernon and Sherwood Pure Rye, Hunters, and of course the mainstay Pikesville Rye. I mean, Maryland was, don't realize, we were the home of rye whiskey. You can have Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah, Pennsylvania rye and Maryland rye, and that was where rye all came from.
So I'm glad to see us coming back. I'm going to have to taste a little bit of that myself.
Yeah, we'll have to share a dram at some point.
That sounds good, lad. Share a dram of rye. So what else is in there? What is this piece on Usha Gupta?
So, yeah, you know, I was really curious about what in the world is eyebrow threading? You see it on signs and stuff, and so we had someone who knew about it, and she was able to go out and find the first person, the person, Usha Gupta, who brought eyebrow threading to Maryland and to Baltimore 20 years ago now, and has her salon, Usha's salon, where she will take a piece of thread and run it through your eyebrows in order to pull hairs out and shape your eyebrows into exotic and beautiful shapes, unlike the sort of caterpillar things that my wife complains about on me, the long white hairs. They become nice, shapely things. And she came over and brought this technique from India, and it's really a fascinating thing.
Have you seen this happen?
I have not, but we have a video that is being finished right now that's about to go up online, where our brave videographer, Gabe Dinsmore, actually got his eyebrows threaded for the sake of journalism. So I will be able to see it probably almost as soon as we go off the air. And you can also see it, fair listeners, at citypaper.com.
It sounds frightening. It sounds like it hurts.
I think it does. I hear that it does hurt, but not as bad as wax. So if you're already using wax, then that may...
I don't use either.
...may do better.
I have the same complaints. Don't touch my eyebrows. God made them bushy for a reason. So so tell me, what else do we want to grab a hold of here?
Well, one really spectacular story that we have is the nose, which is a feature that we used to run in the news section a lot, and we haven't run it in a while, but it's a reporting on the sort of sights and sounds and people of political events. And so the nose went out to the inauguration this week, and it starts appropriately with the great scenes of the governor's granddaughter picking her nose on the giant screen, and then sort of the drunken debauchery of these inaugural events. And so it kind of brings the sights and sounds and the feeling of what it's like to be at you know, what I have to say, and my not being necessarily our news guy, my biased way, the sad, sad day of the new governor's inauguration.
I see. You weren't there, were you?
No, I was, and I was gonna stay as far away from that as I could.
So, you have no problems with the mayor. You don't need to do that with the governor
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine the governor will hate me soon enough. So, but he didn't need to start hating me on his first day.
So tell me, what else is here? Did you write anything for this issue?
So I did a review. There's been a going around in the, we have our column, The High Life, and going around in the cannabis circles, there's been a lot of talk of, there was a New York Times cover page story on this stuff, dabs, where people are extracting the THC from marijuana and to a really highly, highly potent THC compound. And the Times story reported how people had been blowing up their houses and making it in Colorado by pushing butane through the plant in order to extract the THC from it, the main psychoactive, but not only psycho. And so I thought it was time for a city paper to do some investigative work on, why would you make your soft drugs hard? Why would you take something that's kind of a nice, pleasant plant experience and turn it into a kind of dirty, goopy, messy thing that could maybe blow up your house?
And use toxic chemicals to do it.
Yeah, and use toxic chemicals to do it. So I thought there must be something in the effect that makes it worth doing this. And so for the sake of our readers everywhere, I spent some time investigating the psychoactive effects of dabs, or earwax, as it's called, or all of these weird names for it, and discovered that it's not that much different than just being high on regular old pot. But it is, I think it's part of that product of prohibition, that it's so much less, which makes me still wonder why people would do it in Colorado and stuff, but it's so much more bang for the weight. The 10 grams that you could have legally under 10 grams that you could have decriminalized in Baltimore could last you for a year and would be more, something like $700 as opposed to a $180. So that's the seems to be the main draw. But we reviewed the local dabs that are going around. That was my contribution to this week's paper.
So before we have to run, which we have to do in just like seconds, you have two theater reviews: The Salvador Dali, Make Me Hot at Single Carrot, and The Whale of the Rep.
Yeah. So Jeffrey Himes did both of those, and I really want to see both of these plays. Really spectacular. And the really interesting thing about references to Salvador Dali, Make Me Hot, is that it's another play about the psychological effects of warfare on families, and so it really is a companion piece in many ways to Grounded, which was just over at Everyman. And it's the way that it this one focuses on the family, though, of a warrior returning and a drone pilot, instead of on the psychological effects on the actual soldier. And so it's a really nice companion piece to that. And then his glowing review of The Whale really seems like a spectacular performance. So I'm going to try to get out this weekend and see those.
All right, sounds like a great issue. I'm looking forward to some of these, especially I want to see what this theater stuff is going on and read about this great rye whiskey and more. And we're talking here to Baynard Woods, the senior editor for the Baltimore City Paper, out on your newsstands right now. Just pop it out of the box and take it with you. And Baynard, thanks so much once again.
All right, thank you, Mark.